Anybody ever change their own oil in their vehicle? That's something I've been doing for years. It used to be because I could do it cheaper than having it done, but this year that really changed. And I mean, you can get it done cheaper than you can do it yourself anymore. I think now I just do it out of principle. Because, you know, it's kind of, I grew up, that's what you ought to do. You ought to change your own oil. And so once in a while, I get my hands dirty and change my own oil. One of the things you have to do is take the oil filter off and put on a new one. And they make all these tools that fit on there. And so it makes it easy to take the oil filter off. And in the van that we have in our Windstar, those tools don't fit to be able to take it off. I can get, I have a socket, turn-off socket, oil filter changer, and I can get the oil filter thing, socket part, on the oil filter, and I can get the actual socket wrench on the socket adapter, but not both at the same time. So you have to do it by hand. You have to get your hand in there and weasel it up through, and I always run it for a little while, for a few minutes before, so all the oil drains out. My dad taught me really well how to change my oil. So it's warm, and you accidentally touch this, and it burns your arm, and you just have to get your hand right in. And it takes a lot of strength to be able to hand turn that oil filter off, doesn't it? Anybody who's done it before, it takes a lot of strength. Now, I do it myself regularly, and so I know how far to tighten it so that it's possible for me to get it off. Every once in a while, though, we're in a place, this past Christmas season, we were in Minnesota, and it was time to get the oil changed, and so I actually took it with joy. I took it to somebody else to do it this one time, but I promise when spring comes around, I'll do it myself again. So I take it, and they do it, and when I have to do it again in probably 900 miles, it's going to be a pain to get that off because they really tighten the thing down. It's going to take an amazing amount of strength for me to get that off. An amazing amount, and I think I can do it. I think I can do it. An amazing amount of strength to get that off. Now, I've learned that there are a few ways around that. If you can't do it with your hands, you can use a big screwdriver and a hammer and some Band-Aids. And you can get it off when you're done. But the truth of the matter is, it may come to, I am not strong enough to get it off. And I have enough understanding of myself and my body to know that there are some things that I am not by myself physically strong enough to do. I'm just physically not strong enough to do some of these things. And I've come to embrace that. And I'm okay with that as who I am and some of the weaknesses that I have physically. Sometimes in life, there are things that we face. And at the time, we look at them and we think, I am not strong enough to deal with this issue. I am not strong enough to deal with this thing that I'm facing. I'm not strong enough on my own to be able to make it through this difficulty, this heartache, this struggle that I've been dealing with. And the truth of the matter is, many times on our own, we aren't strong enough to make it through. And that's frustrating to me, and I'm sure it's frustrating to you. But there's some really, really good news. There is some really, really good news. The Lord is able to give us strength so that we don't have to rely only on our strength, so that we don't have to rely only on the strength that we have or that we don't have in life. He gives us the strength so that we can face that stuff that we look at and say, you know, by myself, I can't do this. But with the strength of the Lord, we are able to. And there's a lot of hope in that, isn't there? There's a lot of joy in being able to face something and know, on my own, I can't do this, but with the strength that comes from God, I can. Let's look at that strength this morning. Let's open the Word and look at that strength that's available to us as believers from God. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. Way back in the Old Testament, Genesis is the first book of the Old Testament, and Exodus is the second. So Exodus chapter 15. Now, Exodus chapter 15, as is the standard in all books in which chapter 15 comes up, it comes right after Exodus chapter 14. And that's important. That's really important to know, because we need to know what happens in Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, it's just following the time that the Israelites leave Egypt and the slavery and bondage that's there. And in the end of chapter 13 and into chapter 14, it talks about the Israelites crossing through the Red Sea on dry ground by the mighty power of God. The Red Sea, which, you know, think like in the lines of a Lake Michigan or any kind of a lake or sea, that kind of a thing. It opens up, and by God's hand, they are able to walk through that which they shouldn't be able to walk through because it's a sea. By God's power and strength, they are able to do that. And as they all cross, and the Egyptians, because Pharaoh realizes, boy, this was a bad idea to tell all these slaves of ours to go. This is really going to wreak havoc on our economy. He says, let's get out there and get them. And so the whole army chases, and as they get to the Red Sea, they start going through on dry ground as well. And as all of the Israelites pass through then, God allows the sea to go back into its natural physical state, which is a flat body of water instead of having a path through the middle of it. And all of the Egyptians who were following them to kill them or to take them back as slaves are then drowned. And here we pick up in Exodus chapter 15 then. And Moses and the Israelites in verse 1 sang this song to the Lord. They sing, and I won't sing, I'm just going to read it. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. Notice that in verse 2. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Moses and the Israelites are in a position where literally God became their salvation. God brought them life by providing and exerting his mighty strength at this time. And they recognize that the strength that they have, because they were facing an impossible situation. They were facing, by man's account, an impossible situation. They stand on the edge of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is charging up behind them. They're dead. I mean, that's where they are in life. We can't do this, God. We can't do this. And by God's strength, by his power, he provides a way for them to have life. He provides a way by which they are saved. Literally, physically, they are saved. God provided that strength. He is my strength, my song. He's become my salvation. Go to the New Testament, book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is in the midst of four church books that Paul writes all around the same time. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So if you find one of those, you'll know Ephesians is right in there. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Remember, Paul is writing this to a church, and he says, for this reason, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So Paul says, I've been praying for you. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And now listen to this. This is one of the things that Paul prays for the church. He prays, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So Paul wants the church, Paul wants the people of God to understand, for the eyes of their heart to be open, for people to understand the great power that God has. Okay, that's Paul prays, I want you to understand. I've been praying for you, and I want you to understand the great power that is available, the incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, the incomparably great power, is like, so then he goes on to compare it, which I always think is hilarious. First he says it's incomparable, and then he compares it to something. But to give us a sense and an idea of how awesome this power is, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So Paul says, I have been praying for you. You who are believers in Christ, I've been praying for you. And one of the things I'm praying is that the eyes of your heart would be open. In other words, you would know and understand the great power that God has for you. The great power and strength that he has for you for life today. And it's not a physical power that gives my hand necessarily miraculous power to be able to take the oil filter off, although if he works in that way, praise the Lord, maybe that's the case. But it's a power that also is exerted in our lives as we face all the crud that we face. It's strength to be able to deal with those things and make it through. To be able to deal with the emotional things that we face. I have seen God's power work in awesome ways in people. But think about some of the ways that you've experienced and seen God's power work, maybe in your life or in the life of others. I've seen God's power by his strength. He has encouraged and lifted up people as they mourned death in their family. And given mighty power that goes beyond what they would have been able to do on their own. I've seen God's power and his strength give individuals wholeness and healing to be able to deal with addictions and sins that they had lived with in their lives and give them freedom by his strength, not by their own, but by his. I've seen God work and bring his power in miraculous ways so that people who were given a certain physical diagnosis and all of the tests said, this is what it is, and x-rays show it, would later receive by his power wholeness and healing so that the x-rays didn't show it anymore. This is the kind of power that God has available for us who believe. And Paul says, I want you to know about that power. I want you to understand it. I want you to experience this power that's available from God through Jesus Christ. That's the kind of power that God has. And too often we live in a situation where we think, I can't do it by myself, and we attempt to rely on ourselves. And we can't do it by ourselves. We can't. I can't, and I don't mean to speak ill of you, but you can't by yourself either. I know it. But by God's mighty strength, by his power, we can face all the stuff that we face that we can't do on our own. But by his great power, praise the Lord, we have the strength to face the stuff that we face and to deal with the stuff that we deal with and to be able to make positive, appropriate choices when we need to make positive, appropriate choices. Praise the Lord for that great and mighty power, which is so great, his power even brought back from the dead, his son Jesus Christ. And not only raised him to life again, but then seated him at his right hand so that all power and all authority and everything else and all creation will be under him. Praise the Lord. What great and awesome power God has. And that's for us. That's for us. Paul says, for you who believe. As a believer in Jesus Christ, that power and that strength is available for us to live today. In Psalm chapter 9, verses 7 through 10, I'm not going to go there, but if you're keeping notes, go ahead and write that one down. It talks about God being our stronghold in times of trouble. A stronghold in times of trouble. You see, here's the thing. When things are great, when things are wonderful and awesome, I think we put ourselves in a position, in a situation where we don't depend on God as much as we ought to. And we don't realize that usually until times of trouble come. We don't realize how much we've been attempting to live by our own strength and by our own good doing until difficulty comes and until times of trouble comes. God is our stronghold in those times of trouble, so that when we've been relying on ourselves, we can finally, hopefully, snap to and begin to rely on the Lord and recognize that He is our stronghold, that He is the one who can give us the strength to deal with everything that we deal with. Now go to Isaiah chapter 33. I think Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 2 is written with great purpose and detail. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 2. O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. Be our strength every morning. I think that is a really, really important phrase. Be our strength every morning. That phrase is much more important in our lives to consider for ourselves, our attitude and our response. And so as we read that, it's not as if Isaiah is writing this and saying, God, you need to do this. You need to be strong every morning, God. You know, can you make sure that you do this, God? But rather a recognition that Isaiah has for himself of every morning, I need to rely on the strength of God. Every morning, I need to rely on the strength that God has for me. Each and every morning, I need to be in a situation, in a position, and frankly, not just in the morning. Each and every afternoon and noontime and dinner and night and middle of the night. It's that need for God and that understanding that Isaiah has. Every morning, God, every morning be my strength. For us to be able to put ourselves in a position and have a mindset where we recognize that ourselves. And so be purposeful every morning to rely on the strength that comes from God. Good times and bad. Every morning relying on Him rather than ourselves, rather than on the power that we have and the strength that we have, which too often isn't enough on our own. But it's great with God. It's great with God as we rely on Him. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's in the New Testament, just a couple of books before Ephesians. So we were in Ephesians earlier. 2 Corinthians is just a couple of books before that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 7. Paul writes this, and he says, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there's been given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul then goes on to say, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul here has a mentality and an attitude in which he recognizes and understands that when he is weak, when he has reached his end, when he's reached the supply that he has, when he's put his hand on the oil filter, I'm still on the oil filter. When he puts his hand on the oil filter, he realizes there's only so much strength that I have. I have to rely on someone else. And so in life, Paul recognizes, as I deal with stuff, with hardships and persecutions, as I deal with people against me, as I deal with struggles at work, as I deal with life and this spouse of mine, as I deal with my kids and everything else that we deal with. I love my spouse and my kids. As we deal with all of the stuff that we deal with, that we reach a point where we are too weak to be able to handle these things. And usually, I am too stupid to figure things out on my own. And praise the Lord, He gives me strength and understanding that I can deal with it. And it has nothing to do with me being great, because I am the opposite of great. And that's the truth. It has to do with realizing and recognizing I am weak. I am weak at every corner, at every turn. I am weak. And I need the grace of God displayed through Jesus Christ, the power of God given through His Holy Spirit. I need the strength that God has available to me, because it's only through that strength that I can do anything right or powerful or anything. It's only by the strength that comes from God. And Paul recognized that. And there are a lot of days I get that. There are a lot of days I can really connect with that because of how weak I am. Of how weak I am in life. I need God and His strength. I need His power. And Paul says, when we are weak, then God is strong through you. God through Christ is strong in you. It's in those times when we finally turn things over and say, I can't do this on my own, God. And He says, you're right, but I have strength for you. And so we need to put ourselves in a position, in a mindset of recognizing how much we need God. How much we need His strength. How much we need to rely on Him, on His truth, on His strength. To be in a situation, in a position where we mentally understand, you know, I can't do this by myself. And rather than taking on a sense of failure, rather than taking on a position of disappointment, like many times we do when we aren't strong enough to deal with things on our own, rather than feeling a sense of condemnation, rather than feeling a sense of fear and failure, recognize and realize, you know, on my own, I can't do this. But I am not on my own. Amen? I am not on my own. I have the strength from God. I have His mighty power, and that's for us who believe. His mighty power, which brings strength and wholeness, which brings the strength that's new every morning, that strength for me to rely on and depend on in every part of life, in every situation that I face. So to be in a position where we call upon the Lord, say, God, I need your strength. I need your strength today. Let's finish in Ephesians chapter 6. If you're in 2 Corinthians, it's just a couple of books after that, Galatians and then Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Paul says, finally. Kind of fitting this morning. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You see, first Paul says, stand firm, take strength, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And then he goes on to tell us how God has equipped us and how God has given us the strength to be able to stand firm. and when we have done everything, to stand. He talks first here about the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, another way that God has equipped us to be able to have strength and deal with life, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So Paul tells us, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then he says, and this is how you do it. Take hold of that which God has for you. Take hold of that salvation, that faith, that readiness. Take hold of that righteousness. Take hold of those things that are available through Jesus Christ and through him alone. And as you do that, as you are purposeful about receiving the equipment from God that he has for you, you will be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and strong enough to deal with all of the obstacles and frustrations and difficulties and heartache and all of the things that we face in life. We're able to deal with them because God has equipped us with strength. Amen? God has equipped us with strength. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Stand firm. And when you've done everything, to stand. Let's pray this morning. Great and mighty God, we recognize that your strength and your power are indeed incomparable. We see glimpses of it, and it is mighty, and it is strong. Father, help us, help me. God, I commit myself to every morning and every day relying on your strength. God, open the eyes of our hearts that we would know and understand and experience your strength as well, to rely on it and recognize our own weakness and the strength found from you through Jesus Christ. To you be all the glory and all the praise and all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.